There's nobody else like Jesus. He is the everlasting Father. He is the King of kings, the Prince of peace, and the Lord of lords. He is the lily of the valley, the bright and morning star. One writer said he's the fairest of 10,000 to my soul. Can't nobody be like Jesus. Jesus can be in the same place at the same time all over the world, and he never runs over himself. He's omnipresent. He is everywhere. He is a very present help in our time of trouble. Now, I've got a feeling that somebody has been waiting on an opportunity just to lift up your hands and open your mouth and give Jesus some praise. Would you do it right now all over this place? That's it. Don't stop. We're breaking through barriers. We're pushing through flesh. Any of you come to praise the devil, or do you come to praise God? Do you remember anything about last night? Did you come to get lifted up in pride and rebellion? Or did you come to raise your hands and say, I don't care what it takes. I've come to praise. I don't know what you came to do, but I came to lift up the name of the Lord. Jehovah Shammah, the Lord is there. Somebody say, Shammah, God is here. His presence is here. Where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst of them. God is so good. There is nothing like being introduced and the youth secretary admitting the youth committee was making fun of you in their committee meeting. I know what they were doing. Y'all were laughing at me. But no, I know that they loved me and have treated me so good. And it's just such a joy to be here. And as I said last night, I'm just amazed. But I need your help tonight. I've been praying today, and I just want to take a moment. One of the young men in our church had a major automobile this morning, and I've been pastoring and trying to be an evangelist at the same time today, but broke. He's having to have surgery this evening, his leg in several different places, and his shoulder, his collarbone, his ribs, some other areas, and I've got that on my mind, and I there's also a struggle. Today, your district superintendent preached, and I'm not saying this for any reason because I'm not from this district, preached probably one of the most pure words from the Lord as a passioned elder to young people that I've ever heard in my life. Truth. He was able to verbalize what I was trying to get across in some sense, some things last night, and then even things I was feeling for tonight, he was able to tie it together. But my prayer is that we can't wait until Thursday night. I felt very strong this afternoon. There's a dimension, just and I don't want you to get really excited about this. I just want you to receive it. There's a dimension, a timing of the Holy Ghost. I'm going to be talking about it in a moment. But there is a dimension of destiny that some of you don't have to wait until Thursday night. But you grabbed something last night, and then today, by the preaching of the Word, then other messages that have gone on, there's something happening to you. And there's a transference in the spirit. There is a destiny upon this generation. Some of you have come with a ministry, with a question, with an answer of your future. And there is a holy heaviness that is weighing on you. And I would love to be a good enough preacher to articulate and to somehow take minute thoughts and nuggets in Scripture and be able to use verbiage and put it together and for you to leave and say, man, that guy is a hermeneutical, homiletical genius. He knows how to take the philosophy of the Word and put together the theory of theology and be able to present it in such a powerful form. But that's not my thing. My thing is just kind of take my guts and hang them out there and let God do the rest. So there's a part of me that's a little insecure tonight, because what God wants to do is beyond me. And what God wants to do is beyond you or any man on this platform. And there was such a destiny. And sometimes I'm afraid that we get so fast following our schedule that we run past destiny. And today, there was a word of destiny spoken in the Spirit. There was a transference. There was a seed that needs to be built. Anybody feeling a witness? I want you to raise your hand out there. There was a seed that needs to be built upon. Now, we're going to pray. I want you to pray for this young man. His name's Sam. I want you to pray for Sam. I want you to pray that God would take care of things at home while I'm here with you. But more than that, I want you to pray. I don't have time to go back to last night's message and cover what Brother Mullins taught today. If you weren't here, please get the tape. But more than that, if you could get into the Spirit with us, how many of you would like to pray that God would put us right on the precipice of where He wants us? And then the preaching of the Word is going to push us over that thing. And before this service is over, it's a little earlier than it was last night, before this service is over, how many of you believe that we could be in a realm where there could be people being healed, delivered, destinies, ministries, anointings, breakthroughs, loosings, all over this place? Do you feel it? Would you raise your hands and could you pray, Father, we come in the name of Jesus Christ, praying dominion and authority over whatever the work of the devil. We pray against the works of the flesh. God, you see Sam Talley. I pray right now in Jesus' name for that family. I pray for that church. I pray for these people. I pray that you would step us into a dimension of the Holy Ghost. Let us get in one mind and one accord. Let us understand destiny. Let us have understanding. Let us understand that there is a timing. That if we could get in the right place at the right time. Yes. In the name of Jesus, I bless you. Now everybody clap your hands unto the Lord. Let everything that hath breath praise ye the Lord. For there is nobody like this God. Yes, Lord. Oh, I feel the Holy Ghost. Let's do that again. Hallelujah. There is not a person in this room that is spiritually illegitimate. There is not a person in this room that's a Holy Ghost oops baby. There's not a person in this room that God has not known you from the beginning of time. He even knew you in your mother's womb. He knows so much about you that He knows the number of the hair upon your head. And you are not an accident. And God has brought you together for such a time as this. Hey! To let the destiny of the Holy Ghost fall on you. If you have your Bibles, then we'll turn to the book of Psalms, the 102nd Psalm and verse 13. 102nd Psalm, verse 13, New Testament confirmation, Mark chapter 4, verse 29. I'll quote from 1 Chronicles 12:32. It mentions about the sons of Issachar. Say it with me, that had understanding. Say it's understanding of their times. The sons of Issachar that had understanding of their times. Psalm 102, verse 13. Thou shalt arise and have mercy upon Zion. For the time to favor her. Yea, the set time. Say the set time. The time to favor her. Yea, the set time is come. Sons of Issachar that have understanding of the time. Mark chapter 4. Give honor again to this youth committee. Our district elders. I said again. I'll say it probably again, before I leave, this district has influenced my life, men of God from this district, and I thank you so much for your love for the truth. And I want to say something else for your love for young men. I have seen more young preachers here together. I'm not talking about wannabes, I'm talking about young men of God. that evidently somebody's spending time with and mentoring and training and teaching and developing and loving. And I give honor to the men of God that are doing that. Mark 4 and verse 29. But when the fruit is brought forth, immediately he putteth in the sickle. Say immediately. Say timing. When the fruit is brought forth, immediately he putteth in the sickle. Because the harvest is come. Acts chapter 13, one more reading. I know I read a lot of scripture, but I learned a long time ago. My dad told me the first message I preached, he was glad I read a lot of scripture because at least we got a little word, because the rest of it was pitiful. So I made up my mind I was going to read several scriptures, even if they didn't have anything to do with what I was going to preach, just so people would get a little word. Help me, Lord. I'm in one of those moods. I could get in trouble real easy tonight. Hallelujah. Acts chapter 13 and verse 16. No, Acts chapter 12. Excuse me. See, there I'm already in trouble. 12 and 16. But Peter continued. Say continued. Say timing. Knocking. And when they had opened the door and saw him, they were astonished. And he beckoning unto them with the hand. Now, isn't it awesome? Even in the Bible, they gave him the hand. Beckoning to them with the hand to hold their peace, declared unto them how the Lord brought him out of the prison. At our church, I don't know if you do it here, our young people, when you're getting on their nerves, they just give you the hand. Talk to the hand. Sometimes when I'm preaching, I feel like if you don't put your hand down, I'm going to break it. When they had opened the door and saw him, they were astonished. But he, beckoning unto them with a hand to hold their peace, declared unto them how the Lord had brought him out of prison. And he said, go show these things unto James and to the brethren. And he departed and went into another place. And when they had opened the door and saw him, they were astonished. Very simple. Everybody's preached it, but I'm going to do it anyway. Say, somebody, open the door. Somebody, open the door. Clap your hands unto the Lord and magnify His name. I give you praise. Be seated. God bless you. The thing that I like about God is that God is. The Bible said that in the beginning, God was God all by himself. One writer, songwriter said that God don't need no matches. He's fire all by himself. When I get to thinking about God, you see, he doesn't need somebody to join him so there can be a second person or a third person. But he is God all by himself, and just by his spoken word. In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God, and the Word was God, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. God is. If you've got God, you've got everything that you need. If you've got God, you don't need anybody else. If you've got God, your girlfriend can leave you, but he said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. If you've got God, you can be hungry, but yet the Bible said that he is the bread of life. He is the water of life that flows freely. If you've got God, he is really all that you need. Now, we don't believe that. We believe you need a good job, you need a good education, and I thank God for all of that. But if you could ever get wrapped up, tied up, tangled up in the concept that I am living in the dimension of God. I got God on my right and God on my left and God up and God down, and I'm just going to walk in God. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. God is. Not only is he, but he is omnipotent. What does that mean?
It means that He has all power. There is no other power like His power. Not atomic power, not nuclear power, but I'm talking about God power. This God power can take a cancer and shrivel it up to nothing just like that. That God power can take a demoniac and deliver it just like that. Can I brag about God for a while? I'm talking about the great I am, the everlasting Father. I think sometimes we get so focused on preaching that we forget about God. We get so focused on going through a ritual that we forget about God. Well, let me take some time and just tell you a little bit about who God is and about what God can do. He is all powerful. A few months ago now, I know all of you have great revival churches and everybody's under 40 and everybody's making $200,000 a year. And I know in California everything's perfect and you got great music and every church has 150 in a youth group or more. And you've got great musicians and everybody's young and dresses nice. I saw you at youth convention, look like models walking around, got your little Armani suit on, got your little shoes shine, got your little dew on your hair. You got it all going. I know California's got it, but I don't pastor people like that. I pastor people that make minimum wage. I pastor people that's got problems. I pastor people that's sick. I pastor people that can't even have money to pay their bills. But they discovered that there's a God that will provide. There's a God that's Jehovah Jireh. The Lord will provide. What their job can't do. What their education can't do. What the doctor can't do. What medication can't do. God can do. I wish somebody get into this. There's destiny in here tonight. I said there's destiny in tonight. There's a word from the Lord about to enter into somebody's spirit. Somebody's about to receive a word from the Lord. And you're going to open the door to a dimension and step into a fresh flow of the Holy Ghost. Y'all sit down. I'm just getting in my introduction. It's all right. Now, I'll preach in a minute. I'm just going to introduce. I'm going to introduce. Now, a few months ago in our church, we got a little man. His name is Brother Ira. He's 75 years old. Brother Ira Dunaway has been coming to church. His children came to church their entire life. He has come to church for 43 years and has only missed Sunday services because of dire sickness. But yet, Brother Ira Jr. had never received the baptism of the Holy Ghost. About a year ago, I was in just a regular Sunday afternoon service. Nothing major going on. Just everybody kind of following their fingernails and chewing their bubble gum. I hope not. Ushers would take them out if they were. But kind of doing their thing and writing their notes and scratching their head and getting ready to go eat at the buffet. You know, we're not like Paul. He buffeted his body. We buffet our body daily. And here he was just kind of sitting there going through the motion. All of a sudden in the back, I saw some little old ladies going crazy. Now what you've got to understand is Brother Ira Dunaway about 5 years ago had to quit work. He was a hardworking man, very intelligent man, but had to quit work at the age of 70 because he had a stroke that completely paralyzed his left side. He has learned to walk with a cane. He took his left arm, he tucked it into his belt. He would take his left leg and he would drag it, and he learned to live with his right side. Ever since I met Brother Ira, that's exactly how he looked, and that's exactly how he walked. But a few months ago, when the Holy Ghost began to move on a Sunday afternoon, I saw some little gray heads popping, saw some bobby pins flying out, saw folding chairs begin to fly. All of a sudden, I looked back, and Ira had both hands in the air. This left hand, I'm talking about an all-powerful God. I'm talking about Jesus Christ, who is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He never changes. He never fails. I looked back, and I saw Ira with his hand in the air. Then I saw him come out in the aisle. He didn't have a cane. He didn't have a walker. But he was putting his leg up, began to run in down the aisle. But it didn't stop there. All of a sudden, when I laid hands on him, he began to speak in a language that he didn't learn in school. He didn't learn it on a tape. But he began to speak in an unknown tongue as the Spirit of the Lord gave the utterance. I've come to preach to somebody that God is all powerful. He can do it now. If he did it then, he can do it now. If he delivered then, he can deliver now. I wish somebody would get excited about God. I wish you would get excited about how awesome he is. I wish you'd get excited. You know what I've been praying for? I've been praying that all it'll take for us to have a Holy Ghost spell is somebody just to walk up to the microphone and say, God's not dead. He's still alive. And that simple revelation. That simple revelation. I feel Him in my hands. I feel Him in my feet. I feel Him in my heart. I feel Him all over me. That simple revelation ought to be enough to make us dance in the mall. Make us talk in tongues in Walmart. Make us get drunk in the Holy Ghost in the high school chemistry class. What are you shaking about? What are you thinking about? When I think of the goodness of Jesus and all He's done for me, my soul cries out. When I think about where I was, when I think about who He is, when I think about where He brought me from, He's all powerful. But not only is He all powerful, but He is omnipresent. Not only does He have all power, but He is everywhere. I am sick and tired of giving the devil the glory. The devil cannot be everywhere at the same time. I wish you'd quit saying the devil's been after me all day. No, he hasn't. Some little girl spirit may have been in your house. Some little weak, little tired, little dirty little thing may have been following you around. But all you got to do is turn around and say, get thee behind me. I rebuke you in the name of Jesus, because the devil can't be everywhere at the same time. But God can. So if the devil does accidentally show up at your house, God was there before he got there, and he'll be there when he leaves. If sickness does come to your house, God will be there before he gets there, and he'll be there when he leaves. If temptation comes to your house, God was there. I feel a priest coming on me right now. God was there before he got there, and he'll be there when he leaves. Say, God is. God is. God is. He is omnipotent, and he is omnipresent. A few years ago, you can sit down if you want to. I'm just going to take my time and something's transferring in the Holy Ghost. You feel it right now? There's something transferring. It's not just from here, but it's from this afternoon still. There's a word in the Spirit being transferred in people's hearts. There's a word in the Spirit that it's just lingering in the presence. Words, they're just hanging. There's anointing just hanging. There's a presence of the Lord just hanging in the atmosphere. Somebody needs to just breathe it in and say, follow me right now. Let it follow me. Let that message, let that destiny, let that mantle, let that future, let it follow me. He can be everywhere at the same time. A few years ago, my wife and I went to Calcutta, India. If you've never been to Calcutta, you don't know what you're missing. Dead babies laying on the sidewalk every morning. I'd have to cover my son's eyes when we'd walk to the taxi stand. There'd be dead babies, dead bodies. They bring trucks and they throw the bodies in the back of the trucks and they take them and burn them and sow the ashes out into the Ganges River. I would have to say, son, it's all right, it's okay. Maggots on dead bodies and the depravity of the poverty and everything that was going on, it would blow your mind. But in the midst of that, God said, go and build a church and go and have revival. I'd been there for only 2 weeks. In that time of 2 weeks, we had a new young man that was coming to help us flew in. That afternoon on the way from the airport to the restaurant, trying to get a place to eat to break it into him, I became deathly sick. Now, when you become sick and get the flu, or you have a headache, or you have a virus, that's different. But then there is something that I like to call deathly sick. It's when I know if I don't get some help, I'm fixing to die right now. It's when your fever gets about 104 and 105. It's when you got the two bucket disease and you don't know which one to take care of first. It's when you're about to go crazy and Montezuma's revenge is having its revenge on you. And you are in a place where you're burning up with fever and you're sweating and you're sick and you're aching. And I walked into the restaurant and I looked at him and I was pale. My wife said, baby, what's wrong? I said, I think I'm having a heart attack. I think I'm going to die. I can't breathe. I can't move. I can't do anything. I sit down at the table and slumped over. They come and brought some water. It didn't do any good. They begin to pray for me. Nothing was happening. All of a sudden, I felt at this point, if it got any worse, I felt pain go all through my body, go through my chest, begin to spread. I felt the nausea, the fever. I looked at my baby. I looked at my three-year-old son that I brought to India, and in my mind it had been told me that when you go over there the devil is going to try to kill you. In my mind I heard the taunting of a demon saying, you brought your family for nothing and you're about to be destroyed. But what he didn't know is that God was there. What he didn't know is Jehovah Shammah, God was there. But God was not only there, but God was also in Paris, France. God was also in Paris, France, because I didn't know it then, but at that exact time, my bishop, Brother Tenney, was preaching at the Paris conference in Paris, France. He walked to the pulpit that morning. The time difference was different. And exactly 8:03 in Calcutta, when my wife looked at her watch, exactly at the same time, if you would take the time change and go back in the morning, Brother Tenney walked in a session in Paris, France, stopped the entire movement and say, the voice of the Lord just spoke to me that Jonathan Suber in Calcutta is in trouble. And if we will pray and bind the devil, the angel of the Lord will go. And but I'm telling you that he is a very present help. Somebody don't believe me. Somebody's depressed. Somebody, you go to your room at night, you feel that you're all alone. I've come to tell you, you're not alone. You're not by yourself. You're not a reject. You're a child of God. You're a joint heir with Christ Jesus. You're of royal seed. I rebuke this depressive spirit that says, if I don't have friends, if I'm not popular, I can't do anything for God. The greatest people that God ever used are people that were lonely, people that didn't have anybody, people that didn't have nothing, but then they found God. And when they realized that God was there, when they realized that God was in the midst, when they realized that God was able and that He was there. Sitting at that table, you're going to think I'm crazy, but everybody else does anyway. Everywhere I go, they think I'm crazy. I might as well stake up to my reputation. Sitting at the table, two hands touched my back. My eyes got big. My wife said it was just like the paleness began to drain from the top of my head all the way down. And my color began to return like a thermometer going down. And I looked at her and said, who is touching me? Jason Dillon looked at me across the table and said, Brother Suber, nobody's touching you. My wife looked at me and said, no. I said, yes, they is. There's two hands on my back right now. She said, honey, there's nobody there. You talk about getting goosebumps. You talk about, because God was there. God, did you see him? No, but I was there when it happened. So I guess I ought to know. The fever broke. The chills left. The tightening left. The depression left. The heaviness left. Because he is everywhere, all the time. There's somebody here right now. You've got a loved one in trouble. You've got a husband in trouble. You've got a brother in trouble. You've got a mom and daddy in trouble. How many of you believe that right now, if we could create an atmosphere of anointing, the same presence of God, the same presence of God, the same anointing that we feel in here could go to it. God is already where they are. So if we can let it flow through the spirit realm, a spirit of conviction, a spirit of deliverance, a spirit of healing, a spirit of salvation, a spirit of hope. That's it right now. Right now, right now, right now, right now. I pray that my brother would be convicted. I pray against crack cocaine. I pray against prostitution. I pray against false doctrine. I pray that my mama would get a revelation right now. I pray that my daddy would be saved right now. That's it, young person, loose it right now. That as you pray here, God can move there. As you believe here, God can believe there. Yes. Timing. Timing. Oh, some of you don't believe what I'm preaching, so I'm going to preach a little harder. I believe that right now, as you pray, God can rise up in the midst of an impossible situation. And when you get home, the answer could already got there before you ever get there. Some of you want revival in your church. You don't have to wait till Sunday night. Revival can fall on somebody in their prayer room right now. Revival can fall on your pastor right now. Revival can encourage a saint of God right now. And when you get home, God could have already been there. He could have already shown up and answered your prayer. I want to say it again. He is a very present help in our time of trouble. But not only, help me preach Holy Ghost, not only is He omnipotent, not only is He omnipresent, But he is omniscient, which means all knowing. He knows everything. Did you know that what you can't learn in college, God can put in your spirit at the right place, at the right time? There are some things that I cannot explain. There are some things I don't know when I learn them, but they were put in my spirit by a seed of God. They were eternal knowledge in the beginning, when the Ancient of Days was sitting upon his throne with angels crying, "Holy, holy, holy, Lord God Almighty, which is to come." The Ancient of Days with eternal knowledge planted a seed in the spirit somewhere in prayer. That seed got inside me, and when I don't even know it, I say things I don't know where they come from. I do things that I can't explain. I feel things I don't understand. But it's the mind of God. It's the mind of spirit. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. It's omniscient. It's niscience. It's knowing. It's knowledge. God knows where you're at. I rebuke this spirit that says I have to wait until I'm 45 to be used of God. God can give you all the knowledge that you need at this place in your life. Every person has seasons in your life. You have dispensations in your life. There is eternal timing. God will never put more upon you than that which you could bear. He will not trust you with a ministry that is greater than your maturity. But if you could ever learn to be used of God at your level of knowledge and at your level of calling, and get your eyes off a hero. Get your eyes off a preacher. Quit trying to walk like somebody else. Quit trying to talk like somebody else. Quit trying to imitate somebody else. And say, "Jesus, if you can use anything, why don't you use me? If you can heal somebody, use me to heal them. If you can help, if you can help somebody, use me to help." We don't understand timing, and we don't understand knowledge. We are humans, and we use men and compare God to men instead of comparing men to God. I've come to preach to you. I've never met a man that died for me. I've never met another man like Jesus. He was sinless. He was without guile. He was holy. He was the Son of God. He was God manifest in the flesh. He was the revealed image of the invisible God. John said, "Behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sins of the world." There's nobody like Jesus. So why are you looking to somebody to gauge your ministry on? Why are you looking at some book and some tape and some hero? Why don't you just surrender to God and say, "You know where I am. You knew me. You knew everything that I was going to go through. You knew my abuse before I was born. You knew I was going to be on drugs before I was even born. You knew I would be ethnic. You knew I would be this. You knew I would be that. But if you let me go through it, then you have a purpose for my life. If you let me..." Just praise Him right now. Just praise Him right now. Something is being transferred. Something is being transferred. If God knows all things, He knows where you are right now. He knows your education level. He knows your age. Quit trying to be your pastor. Quit trying to be another preacher. And quit trying to act like somebody that's been in the thing 30 years. Be you in your knowledge, in your wisdom, with your calling. Get you a Bible study. Get you a Bible. Get you a testimony. And say, "I may not be able to preach like my superintendent. I may not be able to sing like Brother Young. I may not be able to do what my friends do. But as for me and my house, I'm going to serve the Lord." And God put me where He wants me and give me an understanding of my time. Share some knowledge with me. Because before I was in my mother's womb, You knew me. You knew me. You knew me. Just calm down. I want to preach. Just calm down a minute. I'm going to say it again. I got to hammer it home. He knew your addictions. He knew your perversions. He knew your personality. And He knew your weaknesses before He ever called you. But even Peter, after Peter denied the Lord, after Peter was a cussing, lying fisherman, He said, go tell Peter, because He had given Peter a purpose. And even though He knew Peter was a failure, even though He knew Peter made mistakes, Peter, in the right place at the right time, had the keys. I don't know who you are, but the devil is trying to push you out of your destiny. He's trying to push you out of your destiny. He's trying to push you. He's trying to make you something God never called you to be. You don't have to walk. I'm going to get on a tangent anyway. You don't have to walk around with your big Bible. Brother Schumer, I want you. He's a big man. You don't have to walk around with your big Bible, your big knotted tie, and your self-righteous attitude and say, oh, I'm a young preacher. I'm a man of God. Honey, get the tie off and get out and get your hands dirty and tell somebody who Jesus is. Tell somebody that greater is He that is in me. Greater is He that is in me than he that is in the world. I've come to preach about timing. I've come to preach about purpose. I've come to preach about the knowledge of God. I believe that God knows where you are right now. He knows if you're 11, 15, 21, or 55. But if you use somebody else as your guidebook, you will miss the will of God. But if you would begin to listen for a tapping on the door, if you would begin to listen for somebody trying to get in your spirit, somebody is trying to get in your mind. Let me talk to you. I laid this afternoon on my face scared to death because this district is at a time of keros. There are two different words for time in the Greek New Testament. It is the word chronos, where we get chronological order or chronology, where we have time. 2 o'clock, 6 o'clock, 5 o'clock, at the third hour of the day, certain timing. God is limitless. He does not fit into our time, but because of our human frailty and fatigue, we are limited by sleep and by sickness and by diet, so we have to operate on time. But God does not operate on time. God sees the end from the beginning. I wish I had some help in here. God sees the end from the beginning. He knew what you was going to do before you ever did it. He knew what you was going to be before you ever got there. And you're sitting there saying, I feel a called of God, but also feel like a failure. That's who God uses, our failures. That's who God uses, our people that's tried everything and everything else has failed, and they finally say, I'm going to hold my hand up and surrender and say, if you can use anything, Lord, you can use me. The devil's beating some of you up because you're not a preacher's kid. He's beating some of you up because your family don't even know who Jesus is. Some of them don't even know His name. Some of them have never even come to a church. Some of you are from small youth groups, but yet there's a zeal in your heart. Do you think God is ignorant of where you are? Do you think that God did not know when you were born? But Brother Super, it's a small church. You don't understand. I understand that God puts you in the right environment to make you. God knew who you were, and He puts you in the environment that your ministry, your personality, and your spirit needed. So instead of griping about it, why don't you get out of your chair and say, devil, you're a liar. I'm going to be used of God anyway. Devil, you're a liar. I'm going to sing anyway. I'm going to shout anyway. I'm going to pray in the spirit anyway. I'm going to run the aisles anyway. But Brother Super, our church don't have good music. You don't need music to praise God. You need to praise Him because He's God anyhow. You don't need music to run the aisles. You don't even need a choir. All you need is a preacher and God. All you need is the Word and the Spirit of the Lord. For where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. Somebody up there praise Him. Somebody in the balcony praise Him. Somebody up there.
God's talking to you right now. God's talking to you right now. I'm fixing to ride that mule. I'm fixing to ride that mule. I do not like traditional Pentecostal mentality that says the only time I can get involved is at youth camp, camp meeting, and youth convention. And the only time I can pray through is on Thursday night of youth convention. Honey, that's a lie. You ought to go in your bedroom, lay on your face before God, and say, I'm by myself. Nobody cares about me. I don't have designer clothes. I'm a nobody. I'm a nothing. But I refuse to quit. God put me here. And if God be in it, if God be for me, who can be against it? If God put me here, then God's going to take care of me. Say timing. Say purpose. There's no devil in hell that can make you backslide. Somebody open the door. Somebody open the door. There's a door in the spirit. There's a door in the spirit realm right now. If I listened to junk like that, I'd probably be... My grandfather was a town drunk. Subers were all drunks. But when my dad was 16 years old, a little sawed-off home missionary preacher that can't sing a lick, his wife can't play the piano, and they only had six saints, but he was out knocking doors, and he found an alcoholic son by the name of Paul Suber, baptized him in Jesus' name, and he got the Holy Ghost. When he got the Holy Ghost, he broke that generational curse. He broke that generational spirit. I am not the grandchild of an alcoholic, but I am the child of a king. Royal blood. Royal blood. Royal blood. You're not hearing me. Royal blood is in my veins. Royal blood is in my veins. Royal blood. Something is happening to somebody right now. Something is loosing on somebody right now. Royal blood. Receive it. Receive it. Receive it. Receive it. Receive it. Receive it. Don't stop. Don't stop. Don't stop. Receive it. Receive your destiny right now. Receive your destiny. Receive your destiny right now. Receive your anointing right now. Yes! Receive it right now. You got a breakthrough right now. You can step into the dimension of God right now. I feel it right in here. God don't care who you are. God don't care what you've been through. He knew who you were before you ever were born. He knows your name. He knows your ministry. He knows your destiny. He knows your future. You are not a mistake. You are a chosen vessel. When I was 14 years old, I had pimples in puberty. My voice was cracking. I've never been good looking. Thank God that God blinded my wife. I married one of those beautiful women in Pentecost, and she lives by faith. But trust God that I'm better looking than I really look. But when I was 14 years old, my dad pastored a church. I was the only young person my age. Everybody in my school would begin to fool around with stuff. I was on the brink of following them until one night by myself, something walked in that room.
until one night when my dad wasn't there, my mama wasn't there, the choir wasn't there, and the assistant pastor wasn't there. It was just me and God. I didn't even know God was there, but he was doing it before I got there. And the presence of the Lord came in and made itself real to me. I have never been the same. You've heard me preach it before, but I'm going to say it again. I was only 14 when I laid hands on the first person that was blind that received their sight in my ministry. I was 14 years old. Were you a preacher? No. Were you intelligent? No. Did you know what you were doing? No. But I knew greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. And all I knew is she said, if God is real, lay your hands on me. And when I took my hands off of her head, she was saying, I can see, I can see, I can see, I can see. I come to preach to somebody tonight that you are getting ready to enter into your time of God. You're getting ready to enter into your dispensation of destiny. Receive it, receive it, receive it. It's happening all over this place. It's happening all over this place. It's happening all over this building. The word of faith is going forth. The gift of faith is operating. The power of the Holy Ghost. Somebody ought to just pray in the Spirit right now. Somebody ought to just pray till you start talking in tongues. You ought to just pray until the Holy Ghost just begins to flow out of you. Yay! Yes, you can. Yes, you can. Yes, you can. You can open the door. God knows where you are. God knows exactly where you're at. You can be seated. There's Kronos. There's Kronos. Time as we know it. And then there is Kairos, which means the timing of the Spirit. A particular place and a particular time. I read to you the text that when the seed has bared fruit, immediately you must harvest or the fruit will be wasted. Kairos is the immediate right now time that God has prepared my entire life for right now. It is not fair. Y'all keep praying. It's okay. I'm still in the Holy Ghost. It is not fair because past generations had an opportunity to go out and come back in. There are even preachers on our platform that the enemy come against and they backslid. But yet God was gracious enough to bring them back. But I stand to you under the anointing of the Holy Ghost to tell you that I am not convinced that you have time. Because I believe... I am not convinced that this generation has time to be up and down, in and out, and uncommitted, and bored, and lethargic. But I've got a feeling that we're about that far from entering into a careless word from the Lord. When God says, everything that I have done it for this time. Everything that I have taught you, every word that you've heard preached, every song that you have heard sung, everything that I've ever put in your spirit, I have done it for a particular place, a particular purpose, and a particular time. Is there anybody here that says, devil, I refuse to be pushed out of my place. I refuse to be pushed out of my position. I refuse to backslide one Sunday night when it could be the night that God chose me to be the spark that will send my church into revival. I refuse to miss that particular anointing. That careless word, that particular time, because if we miss it, we may not have a second chance. Brother Silver, I don't believe all that. I hope this is all right. I'll try to preach a little better tomorrow night. I wish I could preach good in California. I don't know what's going on, but listen, hold on. Look at Joseph, the man that adopted Jesus Christ, the husband of Mary. Joseph lived his entire life. You can stay standing if you want to. Joseph lived his entire life. You say he was insignificant. He was not a scribe, nor Pharisee, nor rabbi. He was not educated, wealthy, or a man of royal lineage. He was nothing but a redneck carpenter. But he was chosen of God. That's what you don't understand. He was chosen of God to be the man that protected the anointed seed. I don't think you're hearing me right now. You may not think you're anything. You may just think that all you are, I'm just a good saint. I don't even have a ministry. But God may have put a seed of anointing in your preacher's belly in the spirit. And God's called you to protect him and love him and pray for him and be there with him. And God is depending on you to protect the womb of the anointing, because it could be on the day that you're tempted by that girl, on the day that that drug is tempting to you, on the day that your attitude comes against you, that could be the day that God chose for you to be used of God. Hold on. Say timing. Say purpose. Say, God will not put more upon me than that which I could bear. Say, my ministry will not be greater than my maturity. I will minister upon my level of maturity. My current purpose is only a step toward my final purpose. But until I can fulfill my current place, I will never reach my final place. So if I could learn to get anointed over little things. If I could learn to get excited over little things. If I could learn to be faithful when I don't feel like it. If I could learn to be faithful when the church is dry. If I could learn to be faithful when my preacher's sick. If I could learn to be faithful when I'm mad at my mama. If I could learn to be faithful when all my friends backslide. If I can just stay in the purpose of Yah. If I could just stay in the purpose of God, the destiny of God. The mind of God. Yes, would you raise your hands and would you shout with a loud voice? Yes, God's helping somebody. Yes, he's breaking a chain. It, somebody. You're breaking through a flesh realm. You're breaking through a flesh barrier. Joseph was not a prophet, but he was the only man alive that knew the name that is above every other name. Because in Jewish culture, the only person that had the right to put the name on the baby was the father. And if Joseph had not been willing to accept reproach and been faithful in the midst of despair and confusion with the name hidden in his heart, Mary would have been a spouse to another, a great uncle, a cousin, someone in her lineage who had not had an angelic visitation and did not know the name. But the only sentence I ever read, oh, somebody hear me right now. He was not at the book of Acts. He was not in Acts chapter 2. He was not on Mount Carmel when the fire fell, nor did he march with the children of Jericho 7 times. But he only said one sentence, the entire reason of his existence. His one charis, his one divine dispensation of time. He said, thou shalt call his name Jesus. That one sentence changed my life. But neither is there salvation in any other. For there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. He simply was a puppet in the hands of God. He was simply in the dimension of the Spirit. We've got to get pride out of the way. We've got to get ambition out of the way. You got to forget preaching general conference. You got to forget singing the special in the choir. You got to forget being lifted up. And you got to say, if I live my entire life just to say one word that will turn the world upside down, then let me hold on until the promise. Yeah!
If I have to live my entire life to say one sentence that is filled with destiny, one sentence filled with destiny can change the world. Would you raise your hands and praise Him? Somebody needs to open up your spirit. Now! Now! There's such hunger here. There's such hunger here. Listen to me. The reason I wept today is because California, somewhere in recent past, has stepped into a dimension of destiny. I have felt destiny ever since I got here. Something is going on in the Holy Ghost. If I was a pastor in this district or a saint in this district, I would be so excited because something is moving in the Spirit. In our text, and I don't know what I'm fixing to do. I don't know if I'm closing or starting. I don't know. Just stay with me. You want to stand? Keep standing. Organist, get over here. Tim Ellis, get up here. Come on. Now, is that okay? Now, in our text, the man of God, say the man of God. The man of destiny. The man that when the day of Pentecost was fully come, Mary, the mother of Jesus, James, his half-brother, others, disciples that had been faithful. When the Holy Ghost was poured out and there was an explosion and a sound like as a rushing mighty wind, no one knew how to answer the question, what meaneth this? These men are drunk. They're out of order. But sitting over in a corner, still feeling like an outcast, still feeling like he had done too much to ever be used of God, Peter began to hear some keys clanging. And the man that was able to be brought back from a backslidden state, the man that was a failure, the man that turned his back on God, was the only one, just like Joseph, that knew the three keys of repent, be baptized in that only name, the name of Jesus, and you shall be filled with the gift of the Holy Ghost. This man of destiny, say destiny, was locked in prison. John had been beheaded. We find this man of destiny, the hope of the church, everything that they thought was awesome. In 3.5 years, the Bible said, in 3.5 years, there were people that said, these are they that have turned the world upside down. History says that in 3.5 years, 1/3 of the population of the entire world were one God apostolic tongue talking Jesus' name believers. But yet their hope, their destiny, their man of God, the man that they put so much hope and dreams in, this Peter was cast in prison without hope of escape, maybe even to be beheaded. But the church began to pray because the church realized that God is a very present help, that God is all powerful, and that God is all knowing. And the church, did you know that nothing has ever stopped God? I read the Bible and the Red Sea couldn't stop God. I read the Bible and the walls of Jericho couldn't stop God. I read the Bible and the lion's den couldn't stop God. I read the Bible and the fiery furnace couldn't stop God. I read the Bible and Pharaoh couldn't stop God. I read the Bible that the gates of hell shall not prevail against the church of the living God. Something, something. I want us to pray right now, because from this moment forth, there's a transference. There's an explosion. It can happen in your pew. I don't know what all God's going to do. There's a transference. Lord Jesus, take us beyond ourselves. Just as far as we can go. We're going to reveal the word you gave us, and then we're going to let that. It's yours, Jesus. Lord, destiny, anointing,
power. I can't put it on anybody. I'm not a witch. I'm not a magician. I don't have any power. All power in heaven and earth is given unto you. This is your church. These are your people. We're preaching your word. Your word will not return void. But it's amazing. I want to talk to you right now. Say, somebody, open the door. I want to tell you about the only door that ever stopped God. Because the chains couldn't stop God. The prison door couldn't stop God. While the church was praying, an angel of the Lord walked in the prison. Said, put on your tennis shoes and tie your girdle. We're getting out of here. He brought Peter to the cell, to the door. Piggly Wiggly's did not invent the first electronic door. God did. Because when they came to the innermost doors of the prison, poosh, the doors opened. When they came to the outermost door of the prison, poosh, the door opened. And destiny. Revival. Was loosed. And prayer was answered. But the answer had to find its way to the church. Do you guys feel what I feel? I'm about that far from having a spell. I'm trying to... Do you feel what I'm feeling? Destiny found the door of the church. But I've come to preach to you the only door that has ever stopped God were the doors of a praying church. Because what the devil cannot keep out, doubt can. And what chains could not hold, what prison doors could not stop, Peter had to knock at the door. And the doors of a praying church are not blown open from the outside, but they must be opened by faith. From somebody that hears a knocking. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. Yes! And while everybody was caught up in their prayer, they didn't believe anything was going to happen. They were just praying. You ever been in prayer meetings like that? Oh God. Oh Jesus, 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 what are you doing? Caught up in their little ritual prayer. There was a young girl that heard a knocking. She wasn't qualified. She didn't even own the house. She just heard a knocking. I have come tonight in the Holy Ghost to speak to somebody that tonight is your Kairos moment. Because you are hearing a knocking in the spirit. Others around you don't even know what's going on. But you're hearing something. It's amazing that God used the younger generation. I thank God for our elders. It was the elders that owned the house. If it had not been for the elders, there would have been no house to have the prayer meeting. But yet, God used a young girl to hear. Could it be that standing on the shoulder of giants, this generation of young people are hearing a sound that our forefathers have listened for 75 and 80 years, but it has not been time yet. But could it be that today, standing on the prayers of dead saints, standing on the shoulders of men of God that have preached it but died before they saw it, could it be that we're hearing the knocking on the door? And could it be, could it be that we are at that particular place? But when she went back, they said, it is only your imagination. It's just zeal. You're just young. You'll get over it. You'll calm down. You won't sweat when you preach when you get 50. You just calm down. That's crazy. Because I saw our district superintendent today sweat more than I do. I see men of God that are 75 that preach as hard as they preached when they were 25. Because the zeal of the house is eating them up. But there are some that would tell you, listen to me, there are some that would tell you, it's nothing, it's just hype, it's just emotion. That Suber's just full of hype. That youth convention is just built on music and the choir and all of that. You'll backslide on Monday. Don't get too excited. You'll never do it. But somebody's hearing a knocking on the door. My God, help me. Somebody that's a nobody. Somebody that has failed. Somebody that feels like you're an outcast. You may even feel like a servant. And she went back the second time and opened the door. And when she opened the door on the inside, the spirit of destiny could walk in. I've come to pray that the church should not be the only thing that hinders God from having His way on the earth tonight. Every eye closed. He's knocking. Destiny is knocking. For Brother Suber, I wasn't even living right when I got here. That's right. God's trying to get you right now so you can leave here changed. So you don't leave here stirred, you leave here shaken. You leave here turned upside down, inside out. You leave here totally different. My Lord, Hosho, get ready. This is what I think. Listen, eyes closed right now. Listen, we're about to pray. And if you believe what I preached, I want you to stand to your feet. And if you believe it's you, and if you believe that God could give you the ability to wait on the Lord until you can be fulfilled in God. But you're making up your mind right now that nothing is going to hinder you from pushing you into that dimension of destiny and pushing you into that time of God. Nothing is going to hinder you from opening the door. I'm going to pray. And when I speak the word of faith, I want you to cry with the loudest voice of triumph you have ever cried with. Hold on. And I want you to break, and we are going to break through. It's not Thursday night, it's Tuesday night. But somebody is about to break out. Men, I want you to go get another young man. Young lady, I want you to go get another young lady. And we're fixing to break this spirit of bondage, this spirit of lethargy, and this spirit of the enemy that's trying to bind our generation. And somebody is going to open the door. Now, in the name of Jesus, I come against every spirit of failure and fault, every demonic horde, every human spirit, every spirit of suicide, depression, oppression, and heaviness. And I pray not by might, not by power, but in the name of Jesus that you would fulfill your word, that you would open up the windows of heaven, and that you would loose it now! Now! Shout! 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 Yeah! Yeah! That's it, somebody! Step in, step in, step in. You look. Step in, step in. Over here in the bleachers, step in. Get somebody, step in. Turn around, girl, grab her by the hand. Turn around, boy, grab her by the hand. Step in, step in. Be loosed in Jesus' name. Be loosed in Jesus' name. Be loosed in Jesus' name. Be loosed. Right now, in Jesus' name, in Jesus' name. Yeah. Would you raise your hands and let it break? Come on. Get into the dimension of the Spirit. It's my time. It's my hour. It's my destiny. It's my dimension. Okay.
over. Do me like the Lord. Okay, no.
Yeah.
Jesus, for he is my friend.
Hold on. Hold on. Hold on. You got to do what the man of God asked you to do. I said, brethren, find your brother. Sister, find your sister. Turn around in your chair and pray until a breakthrough happens. I didn't come to lift up the devil. I came to lift up Jesus. Hey,
nobody do me like the Lord. Okay, no. Do me like the Lord. Okay, no. Oh, do me like the Lord. My friend.
It's happening right now. It's happening in the balcony. It's happening. It's happening right now. Let it happen. I loose you in Jesus' name. Let bondage break in Jesus' name. Let addiction fall in Jesus' name. Come on, come to the altar. Come to the altar. Come to the altar. You need to fight your way in the spirit. You need to press your way. Open the door. Can you hear a word? Can you hear a word? Can you hear a knocking? Can you hear a knocking? Can you hear a knocking? Can you hear a knocking?
Okay, no. Do me like the Lord. Can nobody do me like the Lord? He's mine. Can nobody do me like the Lord? Okay, nobody. Okay, no. Do me like Jesus, for he is my friend. Oh, Satan, your kingdom coming now. Oh, Satan, your kingdom coming now. For I heard the voice of Jesus say, Satan, your kingdom coming now. Oh, Satan, your kingdom coming now. Oh, Satan, your king, it's coming up for her, the voice
on,
of Jesus.
Come on up here. Jesus, come on, press on in. Come on, press on in. Make some room. Make some room. Come on, make
I'm
some room.
I'm going to worship till I tell your kingdom now.
Somebody wants to get out
I'm
of the Holy Ghost.
I'm going to worship till I tell your kingdom now. I heard the voice of Jesus say, Satan, your kingdom. I'm going to worship till I tear your kingdom. I'm going to worship
till I tear your kingdom.
For I heard the voice of Jesus say
that.
Oh, well, I'm a soldier in the army. Oh, I'm a soldier in the army of the Lord. I'm a soldier in the army of the Lord. I'm a soldier in the army of the Lord. Oh, I'm a soldier in the army of the Lord. I'm a soldier in the army of the Lord. I'm a soldier. I am. Oh, I'm a soldier in the army of the Lord. Oh, I'm going to the enemy's tent. Gonna take back what is. Oh, I'm going to the enemy's tent. Gonna take back what. I am going to the enemy's camp. Gonna take back what is. And I'm claiming my victory. Oh, Satan, your kingdom coming now. Satan, your kingdom coming now. For I heard the voice of my Jesus say, Satan.
listen, it's not all in a shout. It's not all in emotion. Some of you may want to get in your chair. You may want to kneel down and pray. There's an impartation coming on. God is trying to change somebody. There's a knocking going on. There's confusion leaving. There's an answer coming. God's wanting to change you.